I was thinking. Can I give you a good deep thought? Well, better not. I might mess you up. That there'll be millions of people in heaven. Think about that. Now, how are we all going to walk down the road with him? Yeah. That's how big he is. They praying that a while ago, talking about how big he was. We will have a new body, and the omnipresent God, who is everywhere at once, all the time. I'll be able to walk with him, and you'll be able to walk with him. Ain't that wonderful? That's deep, ain't it? That is deep. That's how wonderful our God is. All right. Everybody okay? Can I give you a few thoughts tonight? We'll go home. It's cold and you're tired. And go home and get warmed up and go to bed and face the week tomorrow. All right? And if we'll listen, if we'll all listen, we can get some help. All right? Now, we're going to preach on genuine commitment, part two tonight. Actually, it might be part three, really, because we had this morning, but we didn't call it that this morning. But I want you to listen carefully. And again, we're going to preach so simple. I thought I preached about as simple as I could this morning. And tonight, we're going to try to do the same thing. But you're going to have to listen, and you're going to have to think about it. Then you're going to have to do something about it. All right, because it's up to you. Let's pray. Father, I come. I can do nothing without you, Lord. I read your word. I study. You speak to my heart and my mind through your word. But, Lord, I can't do nothing. It's going to have to be what you do. Lord, I pray that you cleanse me. I'm filthy. I'm a wretch. Cleanse me, O God, and help me to be what I need to be just now. Touch me fresh with thy power. Give us power. Give me power to preach. Give us power to listen. And then, Lord, give us power to be doers of your word. And we're going to praise you for it all. In Jesus' name, and amen. Revelation 3 is where we'll start out tonight. Get ready. All right. Keeping your heart fixed in 2026. Psalm 57:7. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. I hope we're working on our heart. All right? All right. Let's see. Genuine commitment, part 2. Genuine commitment, part 2. Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. Very familiar scripture. Revelation 3, verse 15 and 16. Jesus is talking to the church of Laodicea, the Laodiceans. All right, the people of the last days, if you would. I believe this is addressed to us right now, for us right now anyway. Jesus says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now, that's not losing your salvation. I just vomit because it makes him sick. Okay? Everybody understand that? So he's not going to throw you into hell because you're lukewarm. All right, everybody understand that? Out there in radio land and the internet land, it's not because you're losing your salvation, because you're saved for time and eternity. It just makes God sick when his children are lukewarm. All right? Now, when we think of lukewarm, we usually don't think of lack of commitment. Do we? But what else is it? Huh? Lukewarm is not swinging at the ball. Lukewarm is not running as fast as I can in a race. Lukewarm is not blocking as hard as I could in a football game. Lukewarm is not jumping as high as I can in a basketball game. We understand them terms, don't we? Huh? That's lukewarm. But we don't go out there and tell them you're lukewarm on the ball field or anything. We say, listen, you need to be committed to your position, committed to the way you move. Isn't that what we say? But it's really just lukewarm. It's really what it is. Pete Rose. I don't know what anybody thinks of Pete Rose. But personally, I'm a Pete Rose guy. All right? Pete Rose, he's a good example of commitment. All right? He never played a game or coached any game lukewarm, because he was committed to the game. Charlie Hustle. All right, that's what he was, Charlie Hustle. I growed up, we couldn't watch it on TV, didn't have no signal, but I growed up listening to the Cincinnati Reds of a night on the radio, listening to them play up into the night and listen. And if I was at my Popo Burst's house working through the summer, and the Cincinnati was playing, if they could get it on the TV, all work stopped. We come out of the garden, out of whatever's going on, and we went in and watched, and you didn't say nothing while Pete Rose was batting, or my mama Burst would throw something at you, hush, my man's batting. I mean, that's what we grew up doing, okay? But everybody used to love Pete Rose because of the Charlie Hustle, because he was committed to the game. He played every game to win the game. He batted every time to get a hit. He run as fast. He didn't walk when he got walked. He run to first base. When he slid, he didn't just slide. He jumped face first and slid. He done everything he could to do all he could, to be all he could, to give all he could. And that was because he was committed to the game. He was not lukewarm. All right, everybody understand that? Now, our living lukewarm is really us not living a committed life to Christ. If you're lukewarm tonight, spiritually, it's because you're not committed to Christ. That's just basically what it would come out to be. All right, you think about that. Now, we've been given everything we need to live a godly life. Is that true or not? All right, so can we live a godly life then if we've been given what it takes to live a godly life? Talk to me now. I participate. I mean, God says yes. God says so. Does anybody here read their Bible? Do you read over in Peter where it says that he's given us what it takes to live a godly life? All right. We okay? Now, God has placed His Spirit in our hearts to overcome sin. Yes or no? As Christ in us, hope of glory. Can we overcome sin in this life? Can we or not? Can we? Can we? God says so. Do we? How come? I'm going to tell you why, because we're not committed. Because we're not committed. All right? Now, I didn't say we'd be sinless. So we would overcome sin. Right. Does not the Bible say we're overcomers? Right. It says that in John, does it not? Yeah. Did Paul not tell the Church of Rome that we were more than conquerors? Yeah. Does the Scripture still say all that? Yeah. So we can. Is everybody still with me?
Yeah.
Now, we're wanting to move on with the church, or at least I am. I hope you are. And we're wanting to have revival. I am. I hope you are. Okay? But we're bogged down. Things are bogged down. Y'all know what that word means. Everybody here know what bogged down means? Huh? We're bogged down. How come we'd be bogged down? Huh? We seem bogged down. We've not pushed forward as a church. We've been maintaining. We've not pushed forward as a church. Now, we can blame it on COVID if we want. But that's not the problem. COVID is done. All right? And things increased during COVID. Okay? We still okay? So that ain't the problem. Why have we not seen revival already? We mentioned revival. We've been praying for revival. We had a harvest revival with Eddie White. How come we didn't get revived? All last year, we had a slogan about maybe revival or something. Maybe coming fully alive in 2025, but we didn't. We really hit a snag since we was going to love more. In 24. That's really when we hit a snag. I'm serious. When we had a slogan that we're going to love more in 2024, we went to a wall.
That's awful.
Why are we no closer to God? Are you closer to God? If I was to ask you today, tonight, in fact, I was going to ask you, and you answer, raise your hand if you can answer, are you closer to God tonight than you was last Sunday? There's a couple. Where's everyone? All right. How come rest of us ain't? We've had a week. How come we're not? Talk to me.
We're lazy.
We're lazy. I tell you what the problem is. We're not committed. That's the problem. Huh? The answer is very simple. We're content to live without it. We're content to live without. You know why we don't have revival? Because we're content to live without revival. You know why we're not closer to God? We're content not being closer to God. You know why we're not more spiritual? Because we're content with the spirituality we have. You know why we're not walking any closer? Because we're content with the distance we are from God now. We're content with it. We're not going to hell, and we're not doing nothing bad. We're not lost and we're not out in sin, but I'm just content. We don't want any more than we have. Oh, if it comes, wonderful. As long as I don't have to do anything to bring it. Huh? Let me ask you, don't answer this. Don't answer this. You ever come to homecoming and don't bring nothing? You ever come to homecoming and eat and don't bring nothing?
Yeah.
Everybody looked at Dave. Have y'all ever looked at Dave Butler's plate? He never brings nothing but a spoon, his own spoon and fork. You know what he is? He's a normal Christian. But we come to church with our fork and spoon and don't bring nothing in a pot. Ask you this, have you settled with what you have in the Lord? Have you settled with it? Are you settled with what you got? Well, I ain't too bad, preacher. I'm not what I was. No, you used to be a dope head drunk. I'm glad. Glad you ain't what you were. You used to be a whoremonger harlot. I'm glad you're not what you used to be. A blaspheming gambler. I'm glad you're not what you used to be. But that was years ago. That was years ago. Have we settled for what we have in the Lord? What do we do? Now, I'm just asking. I told you we was going to preach plain and pointed maybe all year long. Just get ready for it. And I'm sure that people have been talking about I'm too hard again. I was mellow yellow there for a while. Now I'm too hard again. I wonder tonight, have we done settled that we're okay? Let's go on. I got some other thoughts. We'll just wait. Turn to Joshua 18. You give me a devotional book, Austin. And I read it the other evening. I read it, right? And it was very good. I read that. I couldn't wait to take 31 days to read a book. I hadn't read it all. Right? And he gave me a scripture. And I said, well, man, that just really wore me out. I think he gave you one. All right, reread it. It's in that book. That's all it is. All right. It's a good book. Let's read. Everybody ready? Let's read. Joshua 18, verse 1 through 3. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of the congregation there, and the land was subdued before them. And there remained among the children of Israel 7 tribes which had not yet received their inheritance. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, how long are ye slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers hath given you? And I read that, I said, wow. I've read it, but I never realized that they waited as long as they waited. The 7 tribes of the 12 waited that long before they got what was already given. And I said, wow, that's just doulas, ain't it? Huh? Ain't that just doulas? Huh? The 7 tribes of children of Israel had been waiting for possibly a few years, right, to take what was theirs, to possess what had already been given them. Delayed obedience is disobedience. The question asked, how long? That's what Joshua said. How long will you put off what God has already given? What he was emphasizing was the big word, procrastination. That's what he was using. Procrastination and acting on God's word. Procrastination and acting on God's word is disobedience. Everybody got that?
Yeah.
Ain't that simple? Huh? We okay? Do you know that 7 tribes out of 12 is 58.33%? 58.33%. Over half of the people don't use what's already been given. Could I say that about the church? That over half of us don't use what's already been given us? Huh? We okay with that? Why do you think they were waiting? Why do you think they waited? Why would 7 tribes, now that's a pile of people, all right? 58% of a couple million people is a lot of people, all right? I ain't going to add that enough, Rick, all right? Wonder why they waited. Why do you wait? Why do I wait? Why do we wait to go ahead and take what God's already given us? To use what God's already given us. To multiply what God's already blessed us with. Why do we wait? Huh? Now, listen carefully. I'm not trying to add what the Bible don't say, but I'm going to have to assume a little bit here. We can truly assume, because the Scripture don't come right out. These are 3 things that the children of Israel, this is why they waited. All right? Everybody understand that? But I'm going to show you some truths that's there in the Scripture. Maybe we can apply. Is everybody all right? Very simple, very quick. Joshua 18:1 tells us, all right, they were shallow. Is that what it says there in verse 1?
Yep.
They were shallow, and shallow, that's where God was. All right, that's where they set up the tabernacle of the congregation. God was in their presence, and the land was subdued. Ain't that what verse 1 says?
Yeah.
All right. Now, if you read, they went from Gilgal to Shiloh. They went from a camp to something permanent. Are you following me? They went from Gilgal, a military camp. They went to Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of the congregation. God was going to be present, and it was going to be a more permanent fixture. Everybody follow me? And then the land was in Israeli control. That's what verse 1 tells you. When you read verse 1, that's what all verse 1 meant. Everybody okay? Everybody understand that? Now, could it be that they were tired? Is that why we can't fully commit now, because we're tired? Are we tired? I'm tired. I'm tired. I don't know about y'all. The preacher's tired. Okay? All right? What am I tired from? Well, tired from all the battles. Is that not what they've been? They've been battling. They left Egypt. They wandered 40 years in a circle. They must have been dizzy. Going around and around, 40 years around the same circle. They go over to promised land. Just soon they get over Jordan, they go to fighting. And they've been fighting every day. Fighting city after city, problem after problem. You reckon maybe when they got to Shiloh, they said, I'm tired. Is that why we don't commit like we used to? Is that why we don't commit? Because we're just tired? Huh? Tired of the battles? I don't know about y'all, but I get tired of battles. I get tired of battles. Now, I understand from what all I read that a good soldier is one that fights all the time. But I don't know about y'all, but I get tired. See, I fight some battles you don't see. You fight some battles that I don't see. Sometimes we fight together. Sometimes we fight the battles together, but sometimes, man, they... here the last couple of weeks, man, I've had some battles. It was just one... I got to tell you funny how people are. I got to tell you funny. I ordered a certain bit from Granger Supply. I needed a hole saw, and I wanted a 7-inch hole saw. And I found one at Granger, $30 or so. I said, man, that's great. Had it on sale, marked 70% off or something. Man, I'm going to jump on that. All right. And I ordered it, and they sent it to me 6 3/8 instead of 7. Well, that happened. It wasn't nothing like what I ordered, but it was still. The packing slip said 7-inch. I said, no problem, no problem. I call them, customer service. Yes, can we help you? So sorry, we'll put you one right in the mail. That was on a Saturday. On a Saturday. So we'll put it right in the mail. You'll get it Tuesday. I didn't get it Tuesday. I didn't get it Wednesday. Get it Thursday. Didn't get it Friday. Saturday, here comes the FedEx man. And he brought me the box. And when he handed me the box, I said, this ain't right. Because the box of them. I mean, I ordered a bit that thick, that big around, weighed half a pound. And he sent me a box that weighed 12, 14 pounds. I opened the box, the packing slip said 7-inch hole saw. And I pulled out a 12 pound box of ice melt. One of these things is not like the other. One of them. All right. So I called them. I said, I need this Monday. They said, I ain't going to get it. I said, well, where's Granger at? They said, Charleston. I said, I'll go to Charleston and pick it up. Well, we don't want you to get it at Charleston. Because they've done messed up twice. We want you to get it out of Virginia. I said, I'm not going to Virginia. I'm going to go to Charleston. They got one. I want to go to Charleston. So we argued about me going to get it myself. Well, it's going to cost them a dime. Anyway, that was just one of the things that I dealt with. And then I dealt with a lot of other people. But just a little bit. What it was warfare. It was some other things happened. It was every day. It was battles that I normally wasn't fighting. I told Cheryl, I said, I'm done. I quit. Yeah. I might get fellow on that. Somebody sent me a video. That fellow said, you know, I've tried to like people. I really try to like people, but then they go breathing and talking, and I just can't do it. Y'all seen that video? Oh, I love it. I love that guy. Tired from all the wandering around. I'm just wondering if sometime maybe we don't commit because we're tired of the fight, the daily fight. Something has got us bogged down. Is that it? Something does. We've done focused on everything but the Lord, and we're wore out. Huh? Malachi, if you go back and read in Malachi, maybe chapter 1, maybe. They was bringing the polluted offerings. Remember reading over? They bring the polluted offerings. And he was bringing the lame offerings. And they said, oh, what a weariness it is. They wouldn't bring what they should have brought because they was tired. Huh? You tired tonight? Is that why you have trouble committing? Is that how come I have trouble committing? We're just worn out. Could be. Could be. I don't know for sure. Could it be they were comfortable? They done conquered the promised land. The inheritance was theirs. They weren't worried about a little paperwork. They were shallow where the Lord was. No more fighting. Let's just get comfortable. A lot of people didn't come out today because it was cold. You know why? Because their houses were comfortable. A lot of people went to football parties so they could be comfortable. A lot of people would rather have, I don't know if she's singing it or not, somebody said something about Taylor Swift singing, I'd rather hear them sing. If Taylor Swift is the only singer, I'll never listen to another drop of music in my life. I'm not going to listen to stuff from hell anyway. And if you're listening to it, I know why you're not committed. If you allow it in your house, I know why you're not committed. Everybody get that? If you allow Taylor Swift in your house, you might be way over in the brush. Could it be they were comfortable? You tell me. Could it be that nothing else was expected of them? Could it be? Could it be we don't feel like we've arrived? Listen, we've come from the old sanctuary. We've got some property. All right, if things turn bad, we can always sell it. That's been mentioned. Why don't we just sell it? Why don't we just sell it and stay like we are? That sounds real godly, though. No ambition there. Let's sell it. We can get $1 million for it. Look at all the people we can help. Are we listening? Yeah, they crossed over Jordan. My, look what all they done. They walked up to Jordan. The water rolled back to the city of Adam, the Bible says. Went over on dry ground, they built them some rocks, they put a pile of rocks in the middle, put a pile of rocks on the one side of the river, put a pile of rocks in the middle of the river. Setting up memories. We done made a lot of memories, ain't it? Remember when we used to be over there? In that sanctuary? Remember? Then we come to here. Comfortable. Huh? What's the hurry? God's promises are still true. Is that right? What's the hurry? What's the hurry? We don't need the new property. We don't need to be. What's the hurry? We got room. We got everything's okay. God's promises are still true, though, ain't they?
Amen.
Let's just stay here at Shiloh and enjoy God. God's here. We got the tabernacle set up. Let's just meet with God. Let's come once a week and meet with God. Let's come on Sunday morning and meet with God. And I'll get fed enough on Sunday morning, I won't have to come back till next Sunday morning. The comfort zone is not our destination, but it's the place where we settle for less. You comfortable? You comfortable? Not that it matters. Not that it means anything. But I notice we don't take our shoes off like we used to. There used to be a lot of people running around barefooted. Now we've done learned to sit in the pew with our shoes on. We're satisfied. We okay? Everybody understanding the point tonight? Could it be? Could it be they were afraid? Now, I don't know that. But you know, if you read, they still had to drive some people out to get their inheritance. Now, it was theirs. God didn't give it to them. They done conquered. But they still going to have to move some people. Reckon they might have been afraid. Reckon they might have been afraid. They didn't want no more battles. Man, if we got any more battles, what are we going to do? What are we going to lose? How are we going to get wounded? You know, they still have a hard time off and on. Is that not right? They weren't sure what the future was going to hold for them on the new level. They hadn't been in this property before. They was getting, you know, they measured it off. If you go ahead and read in chapter 18, Joshua was their leader, and he said, here's measure off. He encouraged them to go, and he said, did y'all get some guys? Y'all go down there and view all the property, mark it off, measure it off, come back and discuss, and then you'll see where your boundaries are, and then you can go in. And if you look, they've done that for every tribe. Read there, the whole chapter 18, 19, 20, 21. Okay, we all right? That took some doing. Could it be, man, what's the future going to hold? Well, what is the future going to hold for us? Talking about genuine commitment is what I'm trying to get us to think about. Huh? You know, oh my, what if? How many of us have said what if about our church? I mentioned the other day, some of you is what if something happens to the preacher. Listen, I've just done, tried to do my job here. Somewhere in the future, I'm out of here. Sooner the better. What are you going to do? You're going to have to go on. What are you younger ones going to do? You know, this is Thomas, 22 years I've been here. Heavenly, sunlight. 22, I ain't got 22 more. I hope I don't. Lord, if I got 22, what did I do? I'm sorry. Huh? Some of y'all in 22 years will be the age of Tom and Jane and them, the ones that's carried this thing on. What are y'all going to do? What are you kids going to do in 22 years? Are y'all going to be here or y'all going to quit? Y'all going to get your wife and raise some kids in this church or are you just going to quit? I'm asking you to talk to me. What are you going to do? Which one of you is going to preach? Which one of you is going to lead the singing? Which one of you is going to be the deacon? Huh? You boys back there in the back, which one of you is going to be that? Which one of you is going to be the deacon? Which one of you is going to take Tom's place? Carl, Emily will kill Carl before then. I mean, who's going to do it? As accident prone as Jared is, who's going to take care of the bus? He ain't going to be around 22 years. Huh? Right, old buddy? Cousin Orville? Huh? Now, what if we ask ourselves, look at me, I'm trying to be serious to help us tonight. What if we sit around, we won't commit to go forward, we won't commit to get closer to God. What if? Well, what if this happens? And what if that happens? And what if, have we what if ourselves to a comfort zone or to a place that we have no faith in God? Do I fear His disapproval enough to live in obedience? Do I fear His disapproval enough to live in obedience? Ain't that a thought? Caleb is a perfect example of genuine commitment. Go back in chapter 14, 7 through 14. Let's read it. 40 years old was I. That's what Caleb said. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. And yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. You know, Caleb didn't ask for flat land. He said, give me this mountain. Now, if you go read where this mountain wasn't vacant. This mountain had people in it. Let's see who they were. For thou hast heard us in that day how the Anakims were there. Giants. Huh? And that the cities were great and fenced. He didn't ask for a comfortable place. He never asked for an easy place. He said, I want that mountain where the giants are. Yeah. Up there on the rough ground where all the rocks are. And they got their fenced in cities. And if the Lord be with me, I will up there whoop all of them and kick them out. I want that property right there. That's what he said. Huh? If so be the Lord be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed them and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenzanite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. I think maybe some genuine commitment. What's holding you back tonight? What's holding you back? We give you the hindrances of commitment this morning. Now we're looking at genuine commitment tonight. How long are you going to wait before you go on? That's what Joshua said. That's where we started at, ain't it? And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, how long are you slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers have given you? How long are you going to wait? How long are you going to wait? Are you tired? Talk to me. Are you tired tonight? I think there may be a scripture that will help you. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are weary, heavy laden, burdened down. Come unto me and what? But he didn't say quit. He just said, come to me and I'll give you rest. Are you tired? I'm tired too. Are you comfortable? No, I can say I'm not comfortable. I am not satisfied. I'm not satisfied with me, and I ain't satisfied with you neither. I'm not satisfied with Mark. Huh? Am I scared? No. I'm tired. If I was all three, I'd probably quit. Huh? If I was all three, I'd probably just hang it up. But I ain't. I'm just one of them. I'm just tired. Are you tired? How many's tired tonight? I'm asking you. How many's tired? Find me a place. We ain't going to play. We ain't going to sing. We're just going to find you. You're tired? Come get you some rest. Come on. Come on. Are you comfortable? Anybody here comfortable, satisfied? I'm asking you. If you are, find you a place to repent. If you're comfortable, then find you a place. God, I'm sorry that I have done God complacent. Are you scared? I'll find you a place around here and say, God, give me some strength. Give me the strength like Caleb, that I have the same strength to go out and come in for war. And it don't matter if the mannequins are up or not. I don't care. I'm just going to go ahead and get some courage. The reason tonight is because we need some genuine commitment. We can fully commit tonight. How about for the Lord? Can we do that tonight? Can we fully commit for our children? Can we fully commit for their future? Huh? For the community? I'm going to stick in here as long as I can for Landon and Hannah. It won't be too many more years before they'll have children. I'm going to stick in there for them. I've been trying to stick in there for Marcus and Philip. Now they got children. And I can't do much in Tennessee, but I can still do something here in Nicholas County. I'm wondering tonight about genuine commitment. We all right tonight? We all right? Father, I've tried to give a simple word today. I believe with all my heart this is what you've given me to say. And I pray tonight that we might act seriously upon it and be genuine committed because you're worth it. We're going to thank you and praise you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen.